It's time for Geocache Talk. Whether you are at work, in the car, or wherever you are, we hope you enjoy this show about the great sport of geocaching. If you're watching live on YouTube, you can be part of the adventure tonight in the chat room and participate with others as they watch the show. If you are listening later, please give it a like and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app so that you can get all of the weekly Geocache Talk goodness. If you have not become a patron of the Geocache Talk Network, what are you waiting for? Patron levels start as low as a bison tube level at $3 a month. The sign up is easy. Simply go to the Geocache Talk website and click on the Become a Patron button or go to patreon.com/geocachetalk. Patrons now get the famous blackout coin, invites to special events, and other really great items throughout the year. Become a patron today. Have you subscribed to FTF Magazine yet? FTF Magazine is the number one geocaching magazine available. It is a quarterly magazine that you can be part of. Submit your geocaching milestones and adventures to be published. FTF Magazine is also interactive with puzzles to solve and the hunt to find Spartacus. If you can solve the puzzle or find Spartacus, then you will be entered in to win a special path tag. Every new subscription, you will receive a special swag pack. Subscribing is easy. Just visit FTF's website, ftfgeo.com. Don't miss out and subscribe today.
Logwork, the creators of the fantastic logbook made with genuine right-in-the-rain paper, the logbook's designed for the micro-containers of the present and future, geared towards the hider who'd rather go caching than doing cache maintenance. Find them at logwork.com. That's logwerk.com.
Hey, everyone. You're going to have to put up with my voice tonight. It is gone, so... bear with me. A big thanks to Derek, Baker Six Clan, for the graphics, and our new patrons, Four Cycle, Thunderstruck, and Rosebud, 55112. And I will get to our featured patrons here in a moment, but let's just dive right in. And to clean up this mess of a voice, I'm going to bring in the team. So...
We're not laughing at you, Gary. Sorry.
No, I'm loving your voice. I think you should re-record all your voice messages that you have this week, like all your voicemails, Gary.
There you go. It's going to come and go tonight. It's starting to come back, but it's not all there yet. So thanks, Jim, for being on. Jim is one of our new patrons. So, and so glad to have him along. In the meantime, let's do some news, and then I'll come back to our featured patrons. So let's do some news. John, you want to start us off at the top, Cache Fest?
Yeah, absolutely. So Cache Fest... for those that haven't logged your will attends, please log your will attends. There's a lot of cool Cache Fest news coming out there at this time. The store's open. We have the Friends of Cache Fest, which is a really cool package out there where you get to sponsor Cache Fest. So it's a very limited package. It's capped at only 75 participants, and it's actually selling out pretty quick. So, you know, if you're interested, act fast because they will sell out. And part of this actually gets a... line on the shirt, so you get to, it's really cool because, like, for me, I did it, you know, I'm thinking, do I get the pizza ninja, do I put on the shirt everybody that wears a shirt loves pineapple pizza? But you know, I have an opportunity to do this because I bought that Friends of Cache Fest package, so I'm pretty excited about that. You know, saying that, I can see the gears turning in Jesse's head, what he I can see you, man. But you know, on that note too, there's going to be some pretty cool custom coins that are going to be out there too. But certainly go out there and get it because, you know, it's interesting. I know I posted a while ago being like, we're 4 months out from Cache Fest, which is crazy to think we're 4 months out. Absolutely crazy. But the big thing is get your packages in. There's a lot of very good ones, you know, so definitely purchase those out there on that side. And I'm not going to spill the beans, Gary, but can I talk about the vault just a little bit? Or you want to take that one?
We'll talk about the keys in a little bit, but yeah, definitely go for it.
Okay. So, keys 2 and 5 are live. Big shout out to Judy Vaughn for actually getting, 2 of the first keys to come out there. So big shout out to Judy on that one. Yep. What we're going to do tonight is we're actually going to show the clue for key number 6, the first clue for that one. So we're going to show that probably a little bit later in the show tonight.
Yeah.
But if you're watching the show live, you're going to see that clue before anybody else does. So if it looks familiar, run out and get it as soon as you can on that side.
Absolutely. Just to clear the air here, I am not sick. Somebody said, UDAC. Thank you, Maria. Gary's sick. No, not sick. Just lost my voice is all. And it has nothing to do with Buc-ee's, although Buc-ee's were swamped. We'll get into how many we actually went to here in a little bit, because I know Jesse's like, meh, but.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with Buc-ee's, but that's fine.
I got some stories.
I haven't been to Buc-ee's. I still got to do it one of these days.
Yeah, but when you live in Texas, you got to be excited about what you got, right? Like, I've lived in states with mountains and beaches, so I guess if you don't have those, you got to go to the gas station for fun. I don't know. We do other things than hanging out at gas stations, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. All right. So, and then real quick, if you missed it, definitely go back and watch the live stream that I did with Hellmeister if you're interested in the geocaching game, Cache Masters. We kind of go through in depth about pretty much all the major action cards. It gets you an idea. We played it several times this weekend, and we really did destroy our caching relationships. There was a lot of cussing. There was a lot of we couldn't be too loud. We were in the lobby of the hotel, but
is this how you lost your voice, Gary? Destroying friendships and cash masters?
There was a lot of yelling. There was a lot of card throwing. And so Don Zunkai, he had the biggest run in the game that I know of to date. He scored 37. So I put him into the Hall of Fame, which is in the rules. I put a little note at the end of the rule page. But the next day, he's in the Hall of Shame because he scored -2. It's like you can't – you almost have to intentionally lose, which he didn't. He was really mad that he lost that much. But I was like, I put you in the Hall of Fame. I got to put you in the Hall of Shame. He's like, all right, go for it. So I put him in there, but it's a lot of fun. I'd like to play it sometime with a couple decks together because it would be interesting having that many caches out there and that many of the specialty cards. So it's good stuff. Anyway, all right. So nope.
Gary, one thing in here, Nicole is saying you sounds like you need some honey and hot tea.
Yeah, I've got I'm working on some Ricola. So I'm gonna keep some lozenges going and try to make it through tonight. So
one thing, Gary, to ask on this one too. I heard Cache Masters destroys geocaching.
Yes.
Friendships, but in a good way, right? You didn't say, but in a good way.
Earlier. In a good way. We had a tremendous time, and we really had a great time. There was a lot of laughing, a lot of fun, and I was all in good fun. The yelling and the throwing of cards was all in good fun. Because once you kind of learn the game a little bit, there's some strategy involved. And so you could kind of, there's some cards that create chaos, but if you can control the chaos, then you can sort of, it's like in chess, you can look ahead a couple moves, and you can see what's going to happen. And so you're like, oh my God, he's going to drive me crazy. So there's a lot of like gritting teeth and going, don't you do it. Don't you do it. So cards flying everywhere. That's the fun of it.
It's a fun card game if you're getting that into it.
Yeah, we definitely was. So,
could you play the game with somebody that's not a casher?
Yes, casher. You don't have to be a casher. The cashing part is really just provides the extra fun for folks. But you don't. You can have the same crazy chaos and fun with people that don't understand what an FTF. There's a card that's an FTF hound. Well, you don't have to know what an FTF hound is to enjoy playing the card.
It explains it enough to be able to play it.
Yep. Slinkgames.etsy.com. Go check out Cash Masters. So, all right, enough of that. Let's get into the show tonight. So there's a couple items that I wanted to bring up and get y'all's opinion on, because when we're combining vacation or a trip with geocaching, I asked our buddy over there, the chat GC, our little AI guy, he was kind of getting lonely. He's like, where have y'all been? I was like, oh, man. I know it seems like it's been a while, but in your years, it's really just a few microseconds. He's like, well, that's true. It's only been a few microseconds. But I asked him about it, and the first thing he reminded me of was GeoTours. I was like, oh, we need to talk about GeoTours, because GeoTours in many, many ways is something that even if they're around us, there are other GeoTours. So, and I've traveled for GeoTours. Mm-hmm. So for you guys, have you guys ever traveled to vacation and geocache, but in the process of doing that, you picked out a GeoTour to use as sort of a hub for your travel?
I have not. I have found a couple of caches from GeoTours. Mm-hmm. I've only finished one.
Right.
And now, so there's kind of a split. You see some GeoTours that are small, right?
Yeah.
Like 8 to 10 small GeoTours, I think.
Right.
I think those are good for when you're vacationing, but some of them are huge.
Yes.
And unless you're, now again, we're going to split, I'm sure we're going to divide this as we talk, but
yeah, absolutely.
There's going on a trip for caching, and there's going on a trip and caching.
Sure.
Two very different things that we're going to talk about later, I'm sure. But
yeah, absolutely.
If you're going on a trip for caching, yeah, go for that GeoTour. But if you're going on a trip and caching, some of the GeoTours are harder to complete in the amount of time that you have.
Yes. And
there's kind of this weird, how far do I want to get in the GeoTour and not be able to finish it?
Right.
Like if it's still got the coins and everything available, you want to be able to finish that. But again, if you're in a place that's new and you're vacationing, even if you can't finish it, you're probably not going to get it. May be a place you're not going to get to come back to. So you still might want to dive in anyway. So GeoTours are kind of a weird thing for us anyway. Like, it's hard for me to go and do half a GeoTour.
Yeah.
So I've backed out of some of them before because I'm like, I'm not going to get to finish this. It's going to drive me nuts. It's like having that nemesis cache down the street.
Yeah. Done,
oh, and you're like, I got to keep going back. Except for with a GeoTour, if you're on vacation, you can't go back necessarily. So I'm kind of a hit or miss with, I like the GeoTours and I love the concept, but I don't know what I always do them or not.
So you're saying, Jesse, you got to be all in for a GeoTour, right?
No, like I'm saying that I have to be. I'm not saying that anybody else has to be. Yeah. I'm saying that's a weird thing of me. I'm kind of all in with a GeoTour. So it's hard for me to know that I'm going to start something and not be able to finish it.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. You don't know how long GeoTours are going to be out there. You know, I know there was one in a county nearby me, an Amish GeoTrail that was out there. You know, it was nearby, so I didn't do it all at one time, but then it got archived.
That's rough.
Yeah, so that was rough. Now, you know, for geotourists, I'll put an instance last year, driving down to Virginia to see my younger sister. Okay, I'm in New York, she's in Virginia.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I should stop somewhere, you know, in between. Where should I stop? Somewhere where there's a very famous geotour.
Right.
The one in Berkeley County, West Virginia, Thames.
Oh, WTM. Yeah, well,
now, come on now.
Yeah. It is. That is probably one of the most amazing geotours out there. I know there was no way I could finish it in just like an overnight trip.
Yeah.
Like, this gives me an opportunity to kind of wet my palate, to want to come back here, to kind of get a sense of what's all around that area too, scoping it out for a future trip.
Right.
So, but you know, granted for that, like, I don't know, off the top of my head, I got to say that is a destination geotour, you know?
That's a special one, because each one of those caches, I'm assuming, are a WVTM gadget cache. They're standalones, right?
They're like amazing.
You could go and do one of those and still, a lot of times, be honest, on geotours, they're not always super special individually.
That's true.
They're usually quality, right? It's not going to be a pill bottle, hopefully, on a geotour. But
yeah,
they're not always like WVTM level caches.
No.
Right.
But they're... a geotour is kind of a group of caches more than individual stunners.
Yeah. Paul says he's got a challenge, Jesse. This is interesting.
That would make me get a geotour. That challenge.
Yeah, geotour caches challenge. Very
cool. If I was able to sign that, I would start going to geotours more. But
yeah, I hear you.
I'm going to throw out a controversial opinion. So
okay.
Here's the caveat real quick. If anybody's listening from HQ, turn this part off for a few minutes, because you're not going to like this part.
Right.
I don't think I'm trying to phrase this right.
Be careful.
For me,
just to go on secret probation after this.
Yeah. I'm going to be off the show after this, but they don't offer anything special for me.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, I understand if you complete them, you get a geocoin. Well, I'm not motivated by geocoin. That's right. Not going to really do it for me. Now, like, we've joked on the show a lot before about, like, not joked. I mean, we actually suggested, but
yeah,
if they had like a webcam that was part of the geotour, like, you know,
they need to
get to do a bunch of these and then you get to go get a webcam.
Yeah.
I would be traveling to that, because that makes it something rare.
Sure.
Right now, a geotour for me, because there's nothing really that challenge is the first. I haven't really heard of a challenge like that. That would change my opinion on geotours. But just going to get 20 caches that may or may not give me a coin, depending on what they're doing.
Yeah.
Unless those happen to be the best caches in the area, that's not a big draw to me. There's not a lot of special for geotours for me personally. I don't have anything against them. They're usually well-maintained, and they're usually, you know, sometimes at least themed, or the people put them in the places that you would come to town for, that kind of stuff. But with outside of like a webcam or something special to go along with it.
Yep.
I'm not, now again, destination geotours are different, right?
Right.
Ones that are, you know, on some island somewhere. That's awesome. That's great. I'd go there anyway.
Right.
But I kind of wish they would bump them up. They've been around for a little while. I get the idea of geotourism. I get the idea, but I wish they would add a little something extra, whether it was a webcam or something. Lost in, you know, something special that only you can only get around geotours. I don't think there's anything that stands out between them and another 25 caches.
I hear you. Cause I mean, I think going on this, and I think Paul's echoing your comment on here, saying geotours should be great caches. And he says anyone making a geotour should make the effort to make them special. He wishes geotours gain the ability to put out retired cache types.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
I gotta say, absolutely. I'd say too, in my books, if you could give somebody a geo tour, they get a webcam, give them a virtual on that one.
Locationless. They can live around the area.
An opportunity, especially if they partner with somebody, partnership attribute on that side too.
Oh yeah. Come on now. That would, I'd be zipping around the country to get to those.
Right.
Bring something rare to it.
Yeah.
And again, just to be clear, I'm not crapping on geo tours. I'm not saying they're bad. And most of the ones I've ever been to, they're pretty good. You know what I mean? But the WVTM one, notwithstanding, I think they're usually above average caches, but they're usually not the highest favorite caches in the area. They're a group of caches. You know, there's probably older, more unique caches in the area. I wish they could bring something more. I wish HQ could help them like partner up and do something. So keep the, I love the idea of GeoTours. I just wish it was something they could add something a little unique so it really draw people to the area.
Something that you can only get if you go to the GeoTour, because that's the point. GeoTours are supposed to be for tourism. So,
yeah.
I mean, now I had, there was a comment earlier from Brad. I don't know if Chen's sitting a few feet from him. We'll have to find out. But usually they're watching. But his comment, Jesse, is that isn't that what all vacations are, caching trips?
Of course. However, it depends on how much caching you're doing. You know,
yes.
Like there's a trip I've got coming up, which is one of my annual yearly trips for caching. And that is 100% sleep in no hotels, sleep in a car only for 3 hours a night, cache all day long.
Yes.
Then there's family vacations or vacations to go visit family or go somewhere else that you cache along the way. But you're not dumping everything you have to do that if you want to keep going on family vacations.
Yeah.
So there's a huge range. Yes. Any vacation I go on, there's going to be at least a cache found in any new area I'm in, right? But there's a difference. We know there's a difference between 100% 24/7 caching and caching as part of the trip. Now, all of my family accepts that we're caching on trips because we all cache. So
that's
different, right? I'm lucky that way.
I think on social media, somebody had a good comment on here. I think it was in the geocaching Facebook group when I posted. And they said they use the geocaching map as a tourist guide. They prioritize the caches with many favorite points. And the attribute that they really look for, especially with their family, is a scenic view attribute. Thinking those are probably the good ones for their families. And they said when they do that, typically even their muggles and their family will enjoy those, especially the ones with a good view. And I thought that was a really cool way to find good ones.
Do you guys do that?
For scenic view or for favorite points?
Yeah, both, really. I mean, when you're traveling, if I'm traveling to an area, a destination maybe that's not like, you know, I'm driving to this one or going to this one specific spot that I've researched, but kind of along the way, we absolutely do that. And, you know, I know people don't like it, but we're more and more we're using labs to do that. They don't have a lot of favorites. You know, it's not the favorite issue, but labs quite often are, they'll do like a downtown historic walk.
Yeah.
And we love those things. So, you know, a year ago, I wouldn't have thought I'd be saying that. But now we pull up and we check the labs in the area. And if there tends to be more labs in the area, there's probably more things to walk around and look at. And that's not always true, right? Just like with favorite points. It could just be a, you know, trickle down favorite points. It could be near a big cache. It could be anything else. But I think that's just as good a way to check out a new area as anything else. The labs and the favorite points in the area. And, or if you're driving through a big city and there's several city blocks that have zero caches, don't drive there.
Right.
Do not go there. There's a reason there's no caches anywhere. Right. Do not go to that area. Just go around it. You know, you can do it on both sides of it. But yeah, I absolutely do that. I check the map. Anytime we're going through somewhere, we found so many things, and my wife is good about researching like the cool, neat things in an area before we go.
Yeah.
And there's still things you miss. And we found so many things because of caches.
Right.
Because like she'll be, I'll drive, she'll be in a passenger seat. We're checking a new area. She'll pull up the caches, you know, tap on a few of them. And then what we do a lot is look at the images. Because a lot of times the cache won't say much about it, but then you'll see like the largest Bowie knife in the world. Oh, that's a thing. You know, there's a lot of cool, you know, there's a cool statue behind them. Let's go check that out. I think that's one of the best ways. Yeah. As for tourism, we do it all the time. We do that every time we travel. We find new stuff that we never would have probably come across before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I got to tell you, I mean, at least for me, that's probably changing the route where I'm going completely, you know, than based upon just like typical GPS direction. Hey, take me there.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Hit up all those cool spots for sure.
So I want to get y'all's opinion on a couple of things that happened this weekend and get your thoughts. So our little Molly caching crew, now we do once a year, we do a trip with the the group. We overnight trip. So we still do our every about four times a year we get together and do a whole day of caching, and we end with barbecue. And so we discussed where we wanted to go this year, and the consensus fell on, well, you know what? We were just, you know, we had just been down to Austin a couple of years ago, but they're like, we didn't get a chance to go to Lockhart. Lockhart is the barbecue capital of Texas. And if anybody goes, well, who says that? The state of Texas has designated Lockhart, and there's a reason why. If you've ever, if you've wondered, there is a ton of barbecue restaurants that are really, really good. They even have a little, here, I'll show this real quick. They have a mural. Welcome to Lockhart, barbecue capital.
Barbecue capital of Texas.
Yep. That. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
So our eyes were bigger than our mouth, or our stomachs, I should say. And we were going to do five. We ended up with four because we were so stuffed. Even though when we went through each of these places, we were very careful to just get one item and split it between all of us.
Yeah.
So in one place, we just got some brisket. And then we sat down and we went to Black's. It's the oldest barbecue restaurant in Texas that's still owned by the same family. So we went in there. They're open 8 days a week, so we didn't have a problem with that. They're always open. Anyway, this is out front. It says 8 days a week. Kind of funny. But we had we'd done all the research, so we did that. And we went to all these different restaurants. And in the process of the trip, we basically built around. So the core of the trip was these barbecue restaurants,
right?
And Round Rock Donuts, because Round Rock Donuts are incredible. Then, with that as the core, we built around it caches.
Yeah.
So I used Cache Tour, and I found caches that were of interest to us that we built. And I built basically a trail, my own trail, our own trail that we wanted to do. Because for us, it's favorite points.
Yeah.
So if there's a lot of for us, we need 30 or 40 favorite points to make a list, to make our list. Cause we're like, we want high, high favorite point.
Okay.
So we built this list. So we built the skeleton was barbecue. And then I built the favorite point list in a cache tour that made this, it just happened that it made sort of a big circle back to the hotel that we were staying in. So I made it, just kind of worked itself out that we did this big tour around.
Yeah.
And so that was the basic. But then what we did was, on the fly, we were, had done a couple ad libs. We also hit a bunch of Buc-ee's, which I know you're not, big deal, Jesse.
Ooh, but you went to the gas station on a road trip. That's surprising. Go ahead.
John will appreciate this. We hit 8 Buc-ee's.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
I'd agree.
So 8 Buc-ee's.
That sounds impressive, but I don't know. Is there Buc-ee's on like every corner down there?
No. Okay. You have to drive hours to hit a Buc-ee's. Wow. So anyway, that was included. But the cool thing was that we And I want to get what y'all's thoughts are on this, because whatever it is, so substitute barbecue for something else. Do you think that you guys would ever build your trip around, like for Jesse Loves Jeeps, do you think you would ever do a core of non-geocaching things and then build the caches around it? Or would you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I've done that, and I'll do it again this year. I've got a trip coming up in October, which is it's Mr. Olympia, a big bodybuilding competition.
Right.
It's out in Vegas this year. Well, we'll go there. And since our daughter's not there now, she was, when she went to undergrad, she was not there. But now we're just going out there just for this.
For you and
so we'll set our center location, and then we'll do everything from that. We'll wagon wheel out from it.
Okay.
What we can do between our events. But yeah, if you're going somewhere for something, and I think this is quite frequent for people, you're going to a convention, you're going to whatever else, right? Totally non-geocaching related, not a mega. And
urban geo tour is a good idea.
You start planning your map based on that and the time frame that you have. Whether it's just a small bit, or you're staying, three or four extra days for it or whatever, or if it's something for every day of that trip. I think quite often that's what what people do.
Yours is more date and time sensitive.
Right. Yeah.
Which is interesting, because for the most part, the caches, or in this case, the barbecue restaurants, they're not going anywhere.
No.
So.
But you still have to have your daytime hours. You can't go. They're not 24/7.
Right.
And when I'm planning a caching trip, it's usually 24/7. So.
Right. But in your case, it's even more imperative that the core of your skeleton of your trip is based on.
Yeah. So that is a little different. You're right. That is kind of a different version of it. But
right.
I mean, you can do the same thing with anything, because you can combine anywhere you go.
Yeah.
Legally, there's geocaching, the most part, right? Yeah. I mean, you can find geocaching pretty much anywhere. So no matter what other hobby you do, if it's not already like kayaking or mountain climbing or anything, those are all already geocaching crossovers, right?
Right.
But if you're doing something that's totally different, like a food tour or like a Napa wine tour or something like that, I could absolutely see combining those. And that's what I hope to continue to do in the future. We do a yearly trip. Me and my buddy do a yearly trip. But we've talked about before, if we want to like he's big into Corvettes. If we want to go to some Corvette museum, we would make that the center of the trip, and then we would do everything else in that area around it, or some other thing like that. And we hope to continue, like me and him and me and Christy and everything else. We hope to continue doing these trips. This isn't a this year. We've been doing them for several years now already. I hope to be doing them when I'm less capable, way down the road. You know what I mean? And it may be I plan the trip around golf. We're doing a golf week.
Yeah,
we're doing a golf geocaching week is what we're really doing, right? And around other things like that. And I hope that, I hope to do it for many, many years to come, plan trips just like that.
I mean, Lori mentioned the last half of her trip to Texas was more sightseeing than grabbing caches. So that's a lot. Lori does a lot of good caching. And Tyrone says that he's planning on going to a concert. Again, time and place sensitive.
Yeah.
In another state this summer, and building the cash list around that. So,
me and I was in Memphis not too long ago with my buddy.
Yeah.
And we were doing a trip, and we were kind of doing them both ways here. So there's certain caches you want to find, like the Grotto and things like that in Memphis, right? And a few other, the Johnny Cash one and a few other things.
Right.
But so it kind of was both, we found some caches you want to find there, and we were doing states around and everything else, but we kind of did it along the way. We knew we found the caches we wanted to find and plan them out based on we know we want to go to Graceland. We know we want to go to the Civil Rights Museum. We know we want to go to the all these, which none of those are really time sensitive.
No,
there happens to be caches at all those also, but then what can we build around all these places we want to go visit while we're there?
Right. So
that's kind of, but that was only that was a short 2 or 3 day trip. That wasn't very long, but it was kind of equal, right? Like the things we wanted to visit were kind of equal to the cash in the area.
Right.
But more so, and then I guess we had to skip some of them. We did skip some caches to see some sites. So I guess really the sites were the number one for that.
Yeah. I think that's always interesting because I don't know about you guys. It's like for me, what list where you have like your must-do caches, either you're right. going somewhere because you're already there or you're going there for caches. So what are your must-dos? What are your kind of like you'd like to do or your maybe caches? And mm-hmm. then kind of like almost then I think too, like the target of opportunity, like you're just somewhere. If it's like for eating somewhere else, you pop open the app, you see something like right nearby, you know, you go and do that one as well mm-hmm. too. But I know for me, I usually tend to think of those three different, you know, kind of like buckets on that side.
Yeah.
Because especially, I mean, if it's favorite points, if it's historical caches, you know, especially like early on, you know, or unique caches, the one that kind of gets me is the ones you don't plan for and you miss. I know that one of my biggest, I got two biggest regrets, I think, out there. One of them is a partnership attribute cache coming down to Memphis where the place was closed.
Yeah.
Another one was the cache across America in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yes.
At the Corvette Museum where I didn't know about the cache across America series. Passed it four times.
I know. I hear you.
Never got it, you know?
Yeah. So this trip, I did and like what you guys would do, which was like, okay, we've got the, you know, I did the research and I was like, we can't go to every barbecue restaurant in Lockhart. There's like 10 of them. So we picked out the three or four that were big. But then from that, I was like, okay, let me start researching the caches. And that's okay. Syntex Prime, which is just west of Austin, is a December 2000 geocache.
Those are the top of the list. They've got to be. Yeah. There's got to be a top of everybody's list. 2000 caches.
Exactly.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, you can't pass that. I've passed up before, but I'm like, I don't want to pass up that cache now. Guess what also is near Lockhart? Cache Across America, Texas.
Oh, nice.
So the Texas cache for Cache Across America is nearby, which, by the way, after we found it and took the pictures, I sent you guys a picture of it, and I turned right around, and I sent the picture to Lori Bird, who is in charge of the whole thing, cool. And she was like, that's awesome, because she has found the original Cache Across America, Texas, which is no longer there. So she's hoping to go back and get some of these newer Cache Across Americas that replaced the old ones. But anyway,
I still found zero. Even though I swore I found one at one point. I thought I found the one in Colorado, but I apparently, and it may just be another one I didn't log, but.
And you missed the Hawaii one, I guess.
And I was on the trail in Hawaii. Like,
oh my God.
Two caches away from it. On a trail, already hiked out there in the woods.
Yes.
So like you weren't even like a quarter of a mile away.
Less than a quarter mile away.
Oh God. And you missed it.
Now, in fairness, I was mainly targeting the oldest cache in Hawaii, the year 2000 cache in Hawaii.
Oh,
that's what I was going after. Yeah. And I was with a group and everything else, but whatever. I haven't done the Cache Across America thing. I think I'm gonna wait until I've done all 50 states, which should be this summer, and start over and do the Cache Across America thing. Start over fresh.
That would be cool.
Might as well. You can't do everything, right? You can't get everything.
It was great. And then, again, sort of like you're saying, is I was able to find these little anchor points. So barbecue restaurants, Syntex Prime, Cache Across America we did prior to hitting Lockhart. And then, here's the other thing we did, which I know you guys would be interested in, is I went back through, we had been there a couple years before, DNF. So we had a cache, had a lot of favorite points, and we had DNF'd it. We could not find it. It turned out when we got back home that it was missing. So it was replaced, but we're not going back to Austin. You know, we weren't going back to Austin anytime soon. So when I started the process of building the list again of caches in the area, I put it back on there, and we were able to avenge the DNF. And so,
yeah, I like that.
Those are really cool. And then I posted on Facebook my experience of, again, not like Jesse. I'm not, I'm trying to get back in shape. So we did climb Mount Baldy. It's a hill. I know. It's called Mount Baldy. It's not a mountain. So everybody in Colorado, don't
have an earth cache there.
Mount Baldy?
Yeah.
In Austin?
Yeah, in Texas.
Oh, damn. Did I miss it?
I have an earth cache at a Mount Baldy, but I can't remember what state it's in.
Oh, okay.
Man, how many earth caches are you up to, Jossie?
He's got a bunch.
What is your where I go to earth cache ratio at the moment?
Oh, no. I've only got like 60-something earth caches.
Darryl's exactly right. Baby steps.
I don't know how many where it goes. Well, you know what? Not all where it goes are under my account, though. I've built ones for a lot of other people. I probably built 200 where it goes for other people. But I haven't put out. I don't even know. I feel dumb now. I don't even know how many I put out.
And I did take baby steps, Direwolf, and made it all the way to the top. So I made it to the top.
Anytime you improve, you've got to feel good about that.
Yeah. It's 1,100 feet. It's considered, even by hiking standards, moderate. And to me, if I can climb a moderate hill, and that's by hiking standards, because it is steep. So obviously, it's not huge. It's not a 14er. It was really pretty up there, but we climbed up, took a while to find the cache. We found it, but we did it at sunset, which was really cool. Got some great shots, but I won't get off on a big tangent here, but I wasn't really planning to go to the top, but I had walked, got up the trail, about halfway. And then we started talking, and I was like, well, I was looking back. I was like, I get kind of a view, but we got trees kind of in the way. So I was looking at the guys ahead of me. I was like, well, let me climb up to that spot. So I slowly made my way up, and it's like, okay, well, then the cache is nearby. So let me climb to that point. And then I hollered up to the guys like, well, how further am I from the top? Like, you're almost there. Just come on up. So I got all the way up to the top and got photos, and I posted on it. And knees felt great, which a year ago,
nice.
My knees would have been trashed. So but it was great fun.
Again, that's how geocaching can be beneficial to people, right?
Absolutely. And that's the big thing, is I would never have climbed that if it wasn't for geocaching. I mean, even in my slightly repaired state now of the weight I've lost and the knees feeling better, I just wouldn't. I mean, I'm not a climber, you know, I'm not a trail kind of person typically, but because of geocaching, I mean, I don't know, Jesse, I know you get out a lot, but there's probably some mountains in Colorado that you did. But you did it because you knew there was a cache up there, and by golly, you were going to go find it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, you know. And everybody, no matter what your fitness level or age or whatever else is, if you choose to, I'll put it that way, not if you choose to, you can use geocaching to push yourself just a little bit further.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be ridiculous, hanging off of bridges and junk like that, right? But every little bit that you push yourself further and you're improving your health, that's a pretty good hobby that can do that.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys too. So your 2000 caches in the area, favorite points.
Hold on. That brings up a question. I'm going to pose to both of y'all. Just right off the top of your head, you just got to answer. Don't think through it.
Okay.
You're in a brand new area. You're looking at caches. You have time. You're probably not going to return. You have time to get one of the two.
Oh, boy.
A year 2000 cash or a webcam? Which one are you going for?
Oh man, I'm going for year 2000.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, I love webcams on that one.
And you know, I mean, webcams are going away quickly.
Yeah,
well, you know, the year 2000, typically those are at some really cool locations too. You know, and usually it's kind of like a journey. You're getting there, like what Gary was saying. It's kind of like there's a lot more of that incredible experience than webcam. Not to say webcams aren't incredible experiences, but
some year 2000s, and I know, don't shoot me for this, but some year 2000s are just old. They're nothing spectacular. Like Centex Prime. I want to do it because it's December 2000. I forget. I need to go look at my Jasmer and see if I need it. But anyway, it's the year 2000. It's cool because of the age. And it's cool because the spot is actually really cool. So I grant it that. The cache is an ammo can with a lot of signatures in it. But you're finding it because it's old. I mean,
yeah.
We all know.
You're still finding it because it's still old. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know which one I'd pick all day long. I'd pick the year 2000s all day long. Yeah. But
yeah. Mingo's a good example. Mingo is fun. It's on the side of the road and it's now in a concrete hole in the ground, and it's a cool PVC thing, but
it's the history of it. But you're still not going to pass Mingo up.
No. And I think for all of us, I mean, if you're really into geocaching and you're really into the history and why is it meaningful? That's the big question. Why is it meaningful?
It's a good thing.
And I think, I mean, for a lot of us, like being fans of the game, the old ones are going to be very meaningful.
Yeah.
On that one for sure.
Well, if nothing else, even if you don't care about the historic value to it, I mean, if you're doing the Jasmer or Quad Jasmer, you're going to have to go back if you don't get it. You got to get all those.
Absolutely. But
yeah. Would you travel just to get your 2000 caches?
Oh, absolutely. Would
you do a whole vacation trip around that?
Absolutely. But I should say, I want to, on the flip side of that, I think you guys would both agree with me that there aren't very many webcams.
There's a couple.
There's a couple.
Few.
The giraffe cam was probably cool. It was a giraffe cam. Was awesome. Yeah. But the one that we did in, Kansas, it's just, and the one I did in Oklahoma is just a bank. You just stand outside and get, you know, so they're cool for what they are.
They're cool because they're rare, but yeah.
They're cool because they're rare.
Well, I guarantee you there's somebody out there. There's multiple somebodies out there right now that can tell you who has found the most webcams.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There's people that, and somebody else wants to beat that person.
Yes.
There's always, you know, no matter what we find, like we just went over Waymark and everything else, no matter what you find, there's people that are competing to be the best in the world in it.
And that's the thing. I mean, geocaching is a game. You play it how you want to play. And if that's what's meaningful for somebody, why not? I mean, that's cool. If somebody wants to get as many webcams as they want to, I mean, all the power to them, you know? I mean, webcams, I mean, I think are cool in that unique factor too. Cause I mean, if we're saying like traveling and planning a travel, I will go out of a way for a webcam on that one too. Oh,
they're rare,
you know, but if Jesse's saying like put the gun to the head, you have a webcam in a year 2000, same distance from you, but you can only pick one.
Yeah.
Still going with the year 2000.
Yeah. Nicole said that webcams are cool. They're just cool. Grab one in Central Florida, sent to a link to her mom, and she was amazed. So
it was there you go. Cool. See, there's somebody into everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think y'all would all agree, and it's not always a foolproof thing, but if you target favorite point caches that are, say, 40 and above? Is that a good number, or what do y'all think? I mean, 40 or 50.
Depends on where you are.
It is, right, yeah.
Now, but, around where I am, 40 and above wouldn't narrow it down much for you. Because I'm not like Disneyland and stuff like, right?
Oh, well, true.
The World, whichever one's here. But, and there's, you could filter by 500 favorite points and get multiple.
Right.
So there's tons there. You know, if you're in Germany, you filter by 40, you didn't filter anything out. So yeah. I think it really depends on where you are. If you're in a really small town and you filter by 40, you're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
So I think it depends how big the town is. Now, if you filter by, you can, but you can redo it easily. Like, okay, I'm going to filter by 100. Well, I didn't get anything. Go down to 40. Yeah.
Yeah, keep changing. Right. But it seemed like the trip we just completed about an hour ago or so when we got back, that was, for us, that seemed to be a really cool sweet spot, which was caches that were well worth putting on the list. It wasn't always the case. We found, and somebody mentioned it was their first trash can find. You know those giant industrial size that they lift up and put into a big garbage can. Somebody had created that. You could get inside of it, but somebody had dragged one of those into the wilderness. We hiked out to it and took pictures and of course made all the funny jokes about it being a trashy cache and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But that's cool. But yeah, I have to, coming back to Jesse's comment, I really think that favorite point threshold is really, you have to look at what that local area is.
Yeah, 100 above.
Threshold is. Because, I mean, I'll admit, there's been places where I've traveled, I'm looking at 100 favorite points or above. There's been other places I've traveled, I'm looking at like 5 to 10 favorite points.
Yeah.
You know, on that one.
It does depend.
You
almost have to gauge, you almost need to look at a list and say, you know, all you're seeing is 5, 10, 5, 8, whatever. And then you get like a 50 or a 40. You're like, whoa, this is really sticks out.
Yeah, something stands out is what you look for.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, there's a reason. Now, the reason could be that it was really cool at one time, but now it's been replaced and it sort of sucks, which we've all done
that. Odds are it's more likely than not going to be something decent.
More likely. Exactly.
Right.
So one of the other things we did, which is what Jesse alluded to earlier, which was we did some sort of hot spots. And what we did was we found there was a couple that had really high favorite points. And then in that same little locale, there was a bunch of murals that were Adventure Lab. And so... Yeah. It was quick. We were able to drive around, stop, really cool murals, very well done, and gobble those up. Went out to the dam, made all the dam jokes, and was able to, get. That was the last one of the murals. There was a mural on the dam. So, I mean, it was a good way to combo those kind of things. So
I think you can do both, right? We've talked about early, you know, previously on the show, we've talked about both extremes, like we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Find some caches while you're on vacation or going on a trip just for caching. But I think what you're talking about, well, we've kind of come around full circle, is the barbecue trip.
Yeah.
That was not that you wouldn't have gone and just done the barbecue.
Right.
And you wouldn't have gone and just done the geocaching of that area. But when you combine them together, like equally, I think that's a third kind of trip. And that's when you do something like that, like, hey, we're going to go do this in this area. I want to see these things in this area. But while we're there, you know, we'll do the first sheet of top level, Jasmer,
1,000
webcam stuff. But then when you get in the area, you filter by favorite points. So you're still doing on the fly quite a bit with that. But maybe there's a name for that kind of trip where it's equally caching and non-caching, right?
Yeah.
It always seems to be one of the extremes or another, but I think that's a whole different type of, I was trying to think of a name for it, but I couldn't, right?
What do you say? Do you say it's like hybrid? Cause it's like, what's your purpose of being there? Is your primary purpose caching? Is your primary purpose like barbecue?
For us, it was equal.
Yeah. It had to be. The two for us had to meld together. So if hypothetically Lockhart was in a location where there were no caches to find, I don't think we would probably have made that a look. It had to meld the two together for us. We had to have both.
With both of them, it made the trip worth it.
Yes. Yeah.
And I like that.
And so whatever it is, I would just use that example, but otherwise you just go, we can just go caching. And then one of us, you know, we could all go on our own, to do these other things. Like if you're going to go out to Vegas and do something in Vegas, you don't necessarily have to cash, but.
Oh, I missed it. Hold on. Here we go.
Symbiotic.
It's called a vacation. Yeah. That's the end of that. Yeah. Can't beat that. Actually. It's just called a vacation. It's
called a vacation.
You know, but you know what? I hope to plan my trips more like that in the future. Right. Yes, I'm going to go do a hardcore caching trip because I do that once a year.
Right.
But I like to plan some too that you get to see stuff outside of geocaching as well. Right. Half and half, 50% geocaching, 50% whatever else.
Vacation. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, okay. I like that, Jim.
Good term. I do want to make a quick note, and we'll start to get to the wrap up point. Yeah. But we were coming back home, and we had some time, so I was picking out high favorite point caches that we were going to hit along the trip back. There's Doggy. Hi.
Oh man.
Hey buddy. How are you? Oh, is there a big yawn or is he just happy?
He's just happy to be here.
He's happy to get a little petting. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, he'll sit there right next to somebody all day long.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
what are you doing? You're not petting me. And when he hits you with your head, man. It's like a 20-pound head that's hitting you. So you're like, right.
Jesse, you're going to have to do a show based upon a geo trip with your dog, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. And I've done some trips with him already. Because we have to stay in KOAs and we cache around that area, but they won't let him go in any hotels.
No.
So we'll stay in KOAs. He'll stay right in the bed with me.
That's go great. Yeah. So real fast, I was picking out these. I was like, oh, here's one. 40 fair points. Let's grab it. So we're like, all right, it's right off the highway. Because we were trying to do quickly. You know, we're going down the highway. Let's pick a cache. We want to keep our time because, you know, I want to get back for the show, blah, blah, blah. So I picked it out. Didn't really look at it. I just saw there was about 40 fair points. I did notice it's in somebody's front yard. So like, all right, we can do this pretty quick. So we get there. We find the cache. The owner comes out. And I look. I was like, he kind of looks familiar. And then he said that this was a cache that he had created for his late wife. And I was like, oh, that's awesome that you did that. And I was like, late wife, Debbie. I'm like, what's your geocaching name? And he goes, well, it's DE Crypto Man. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's one of our patrons.
So, that is
so cool. So we only have a hand, you know, we only have a few patrons. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so we had a moment of shaking hands, and he's like, oh my gosh. So he listens. He doesn't really watch the show. And so, you know, he knew the voice. Well, I started talking, not this voice.
Not this voice, yeah.
My regular voice.
Whole world, though.
But isn't that a small world? And that was, you know, usual. I didn't look to see. So there we are. So, Harry, good to meet you in person, dude. Hopefully see you in a few weeks. He is a Texas county finisher.
Oh, wow.
He's like He's like 11.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I'm like 223. He's like 11. And his wife was 22 on the list. And so anyway, what a small world, you know, but hey, he had a high favorite point. We did quite a few, and this is for another show, but we did a bunch of what do you call it? Private residence caches.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I'm not as leery, I guess, of them. And Jesse and I, you and I have done private residence caches. Mm-hmm. We did one in near the Mingo or near Colby, but so anyway, so to wrap up that story, just that, you know, high favorite, everything went great. We hit all the places we were hoping to hit. Well, we could have done more. We were careful to eat. We were trying not to eat ourselves out of too much barbecue, and we kind of did. So we were trying to pace ourselves to get to five. We couldn't do it. So, but we loved it. It was great. So some final thoughts from you guys.
Gary, before we get into final thoughts, are we going to show a key clue for tonight?
Yeah, let's do it. Sorry, I'm coughing. Go ahead, go for it.
Yeah, we're going to bring this up. So everybody, we have a new clue for the Cash Fest Oklahoma Vault on here. This is one you're going to see first on this one. So we're going to put this up right now. So this is the first clue for key six on here. Jesse, does this look familiar?
Oh, yeah, I know where that is.
Oh, man. So
I got to figure it out already.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm sure other people do. So if you think you know where this is, you may want to grab it before somebody else does, because we got a feeling on here. Once we get into the next clue on this one, it's going to go quick.
Burnt turtles. I've been there.
Man. See?
Well, go get it. Yeah. Don't just talk. Stop watching the show. Go get it. Don't ever tell anybody to stop watching a show.
No, not at all. Not at all. We'll post this in the Cash Fest Vault Facebook group as well, too. So for people that want to get the key clues, please join the Cash Fest the Cash Fest Oklahoma Vault Facebook group. You'll get all the clues in that group.
Yep, that's awesome.
So I'll final start thoughts. With last thoughts then. Yeah.
All right, go for it.
I think kind of tonight a little different. We've talked before again about the two extremes for caching. I'm kind of fascinated about and thinking about it in this respect. You know, when I have my next caching trip that I plan or whatever, my next trip that I plan.
Right.
Try to do one of these 50-50 trips. So pick an area where I really want to get caches, but also really want to sightsee.
Right.
You know, usually it's one or the other. I'm going for all caching if I see something cool, or I'm going for sightseeing and whatever extra time I have left over is that. But I'd like to plan one that's just 50-50 style. I think that'd be pretty interesting, and a pretty interesting way to like balance out a trip like this.
Right.
It's kind of a different, it's really different for planning than you would do for the other two extremes.
Yeah, because I think I, for the most part, most of my trips have always been 90% geocaching and 10% of, hey, while we're there, let's go to this.
Yeah.
This was the first one where we kind of didn't do that.
But I could see like a golf trip. Like, I'm not into golfing, but I hope to be in the future. Like, you're going on a golf, you're planning a golf trip, but you're also planning in an area where you know you can get a lot of good caches, right? And you're doing a 50-50 trip or something like sightseeing, but also, you know, the cache along the way. I like the idea of that. I think that's a really neat niche that we've never really talked about for planning trips.
Yep. Very cool. John?
Yeah. And I think, man, what a great topic. You know, I mean, caching and traveling on that one, because of being, I know for all of us, if it's like for me, if it's like going somewhere, you know, for work, what can I find on the way? What can I find on the way back? so much of it, I think, Jesse, the key word I heard from you was balance, you know, and how do you balance that out? Because I think for cashers, that's something that's really tough to do sometimes, you know, because if we are in a spot and we've never been there and we've only have like one day for cashing, how are we prioritizing? How are we getting those cashes? One thing I think we didn't mention on the show, but I know I love doing when I'm out there, if I can, is an FTF opportunity. Big shout out to Cashly. Love Cashly. If I'm somewhere that I don't typically go to, I'll pop up Cashly. And if you're a Cashly user or not a user, the big thing about Cashly is it displays FTF icons for new caches that have not been found. Because of Cashly, I've gotten a number of FTFs out there while traveling and on vacation. So I know for me, that's something that's really cool as well on there. But yeah, I think it's a great topic, you know, and I think we could talk a lot more, but I want to give a big shout out to people who replied back on social media. A few quotes that I love on here when we asked this question upon traveling and caching.
Yeah.
Direwolf had a good one of what could make a good traveling and caching experience. He said if he had a personal jetpack.
Yeah, so, there you go.
So yeah, great idea, Direwolf, on this one. I love one saying when they road trip, they plan to stay in areas that have plenty of caches to find. So, you know, looking at that anchor point for where they're going to stay on those road trips. Because I think that's a good one. I know I've done it. It's just, where do you stay? Where are the good caches? And probably the most liked comment on how do you do successful traveling and caching on social media that somebody posted, their response was, leave my husband at home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you That's go.
I mean, it would be hard to travel with I don't have any non-cashers around me, so I don't know what it's like. But traveling with a true non-casher would be different than, you know, like my wife and I both cash equally.
Right.
And my kids will cash, my parents cash, my brother, everybody that is around me is either a cashier. They're a cashier to some degree. But I would have trouble driving with somebody on a road trip that was not a cashier at all. I'd be like, you're just going to have to.
You know what, though? But I mean, that's a prime muggle conversion opportunity right there, my friend. You know?
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree. I do that a lot. But imagine going a whole trip with somebody that did not want to cash it all the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Like they got in the car and they're just like, I'm against geocaching.
Yeah. I mean, oh my. Woo.
No.
Guess what's about to happen.
So the Mount Baldy we did does not have an earth cache. So that was a different Mount Baldy.
I looked it up. It was Nebraska.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I do have some in Texas, though.
Yeah, I know you do. Yeah. I know. So one of my final thoughts, while I still have a little bit of voice left, and that is to do it. I think that so many times we don't prioritize it when we could. I'm not saying we should, but when we can, sometimes we don't. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that. It's when you have the opportunity, a legitimate opportunity, and you're not trying to, like, mess up another plan. But when you have an opportunity and you just don't do it, I think we miss out. And I think there are times when we need to be encouraged to plan it, even if it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Go do it. And just, hopefully you've built, and we've talked before about building geocaching friendships, or, you know, depending on your level of friendship, maybe you both just meet at a location, you know, depending on your, you know, how much you have as depending on your friendship with these people. Like if it's, you know, if it's couples, then you know, maybe, you know, you can work out, you know, going to a location that has similar interests for both of you or for the four of you.
Very politically correct.
All right. Exactly.
And let me save you some breath. It's geocaching.
Yeah.
Go make friends. Go caching with other people.
Yeah.
Then guess what? Take a chance and go on a trip with somebody. Go on a caching trip. You don't have to sleep in the same hotel room.
No.
Get out there and do it. Why? Because life is too short not to engage in that part of this game.
Yeah.
Yep.
This game is about fun and friendships and everything else. And you can be a solo cacher if you want, but you're missing out on so much part of the game that's the really fun part. Absolutely. The best friends I have, you know, that I didn't grow up with when I was a little kid or whatever, are all from geocaching.
Right.
Everybody I have to go on trips with. And nothing is going to ever beat that. That adds a whole different level to geocaching. There's geocaching. And then when you get to the point where you're taking trips with friends and stuff to geocache, that is those memories you're never going to regret going for. Right. I mean, that's
absolutely
take a chance, go and do that at the next, you know, that's that next level or whatever, but your life is too short not to, you know, you can go by and never do it or just go do it.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Well, guys, thanks. That was fun. Appreciate everybody hanging in there with my voice I've lost from all the good fun we had and
all the Bucky's germs.
All the Bucky's, all the barbecue and Bucky's, and it was weird. I think the weather got me. We went from like 70 to 40 to cold, windy, back up to 60. You know, the weather in Texas right now is going back and forth and back and forth. So
anyway. That's it. It's not hanging out in gas stations that got you sick. It's the weather changing a few degrees. You're right. You got it, Gary.
My theory is that Gary did not have enough pizza on this trip. He had too much barbecue.
We did have pizza.
We did have gas station. How many times, Gary? How many times did you just have
pizza? No, we had real pizza. We went to a real restaurant called 600 Degrees. What a great name for a pizza place.
Yeah.
It's in Round Rock, and it was great. And then we cashed. So, you know, you got to do the both. We had great. We didn't eat just barbecue. We had donuts. We had pizza. We actually had, we went to Mighty Fine Burgers one time too. So
there you go. Happy Hodag. Thank you for your professional opinion on this, which I greatly appreciate on this from a valid third party, and that Gary clearly needs more pizza.
I can't eat pizza very often. Not in, you know, keep sporting this svelte body that I've created, this sculpted rock that I'm creating that looks like Jesse. Okay, not looks like Jesse. Never mind. But it's better than it was, so I can't do that very often. But hey, it was.
But a when vacation. You do, it's good.
It's good. It was good. It was really good. But anyway, hopefully that helps some folks. And we will see everybody, I guess this Tuesday is, Challenge Talk, correct, John?
Yeah, Challenge Talk is coming up on Tuesday. And Emily is back, so it's going to be Emily and Tim on the show on that one. So it's going to be really good. They're going to talk about adventure and leaping, and a big thank you to everybody who filled out the poll and our Geocache Talk Network community group on that one. About their leap day accomplishments on that one. So
awesome. So
thank you everybody for that.
Well, thank you guys. And that was fun. And we will, we'll see you guys next time for another Geocache Talk. So good night, everybody.
Okay. Take care, everyone.
Your finds be many, and your DNFs be few. May the terrain and difficulty both be less than two. And whatever it is you're looking for, may it find its way to you. And may we all meet again.
Folks, we hope you've enjoyed the show tonight. Please email us your comments at geocachetalk@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The show can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, or Spotify, as well as at the Geocache Talk website. Don't forget to click that subscribe button below and ring that bell notification so that you can see and hear the show on a weekly basis. And tell your friends about the show. Get them involved with us in the chat room. And until next week, don't just talk about geocaching. Go geocaching.